Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us for Pesach Ideas and Inspiration this Wednesday night, March 22nd at 8 p.m. Eastern for Seder Sparks, Making Magid More Meaningful for Your Children with Mrs. Sharon Richter. And Thursday, March 23rd at noon Eastern Time for Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lunch and Learn with Mrs. Beruria Siegel. Sign up at ou.org/women/Pesach23. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dina Rubinovich, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Memhe. Lamanatseach al Shoshanim, B'nei Korach are using an instrument that resembled a Shoshana. Maskil Shir Yedidot. The Mizmor is a maskil, one that teaches a lesson, and it is a Shir Yedidot, a love song. This mizmor contains one of the most quoted psukim that is used to describe glory and adornments of the daughter of the king. In Pasuk Yudalit, Kol kfuda vat melech pnima mimishbetzot zahav levusha, and all her glory the princess is inside, adorned in golden filigree. And it is used to describe how Benot Yisrael, the Benot Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the daughters of the ultimate king, should conduct themselves. Interestingly, the pasuk in the context of the maskil has an entirely different connotation. So let's start from the beginning, a very good place to start, and let's see what's going on. Mazel tov. If we're indeed to start at the beginning of Perek Mem Hei, we acknowledge that we are celebrating a wedding. The groom is seeking the hand of the princess and is presenting himself to the king, who happens to be the father of the bride. The song was composed by B'nai Korach in honor of the wedding of the king and queen. So we have a wedding. Who are the bride and the groom? The groom begins by describing himself by what he is wearing. Chagor charbecha al yerach gibor hodcha v'hadarecha. Fasten your sword on your thigh, mighty one, in your majesty and splendor. We also learn about his mission in life. V'hadarcha tzlach rechav al dvar emet v'anvat tzedek v'torcha noraot yeminecha. In your splendor, ride triumphant for the sake of truth, humility, and justice, and your right hand lead you to wondrous deeds. Kisa'echa Elokim olam va'ed, shevet mishor, shevet malchutecha. Your divine throne is eternal, your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. Ahavta tzedek v'tisna resha, alken meshachacha Elokim elokecha, shemen sason mechaverecha. You love justice and despise evil, for this God, your God, has anointed you out of all of your fellows with oil of bliss. And finally, we are told how he is dressed. Morva alot ktsiot kol vigdotecha min hechleshen mine simchucha. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloe and cinnamon. Lutes echo from ivory chambers, delighting you. Before we meet the bride, we are introduced to the queen, her mother, and are told what the queen is wearing, ketim ophir, all the gold of ophir. The mizmor then continues with the instructions to the bride, which seem bizarre. Forget your country and your nation, shim ivat ur ivati osnech, v'shichichi amech uveit avich. Hear me, daughter, look around and listen, forget your own people and your father's house. Build a new life with a king who desires you, pasuk yud bet, v'it'av ha'melech yofiech, Kihu Adonaiach Vishtachavi Lo. Let the king crave your beauty. He is your master now. Bow to him. Finally, we are told where the bride comes from. Pasuk Yugimel, Uvat Tzor Bemincha, Panaich Yechalu Ashire Am, daughter of Tzor, the richest of people will seek favor with gifts. And we are told what she is wearing and that which is the most special element about her, her glory, and that is the pasuk with which we began. Pasuk Yudalid. Kol kvuda bat melech pnima mimishbetzot zahav levusha. In all her glory, the princess is inside, adorned in golden filigree. Lirkamot tuva lamelech betulot achareya reoteha muvaot lach. She is led to the king in embroidered finery, maidens, her friends in her train. Tuvalna bismachot vagil tivoena behechal melech. They are brought to you, led in gladness and joy. They enter the king's palace. So, who is the bride? One option, a beautiful woman from Tzor, Izebel, the daughter of the king of Tzor, whose name was Etbaal, and she married Ahav, the king of Israel of the northern kingdom, and worked together with Ahav and almost completely destroyed the Northern Kingdom by introducing hardcore idolatry with Baal and Asherah into the day-to-day practices. That was the time of Eliyahu HaNavi. However, not all the details fit. Ahav never had a palace of ivory, though he did have a chair of ivory. Is that close enough? But he also did very bad things, and this king is described as good, who trumpeted truth and righteousness and valor. In addition to introducing idolatry into the region, Ahav is known for turning a blind eye to the framing and subsequent murder of his relative Naval in order to inherit Naval's vineyard. Okay, so who else can this bride be? Another option, one of the wives of Shlomo, Perek Yud Aleph and Melachim Aleph, tells us that Shlomo married women from all the surrounding nations, including from Sidon. Maybe this Mizmor celebrates that marriage. There are Midrashim that compare Shlomo's wedding to Bat Paro to the opening day of the Beit HaMikdash, and the beauty of Bat Paro was well known. But the groom in our Mizmor was a man of war with sharp weapons, and Shlomo, the man of peace, never went to war. What about David HaMelech? Could the bride in the Mizmor be one of his wives? David married Maacha, the daughter of Talmai, the king of Geshur. The location is thus not exact. Does it matter? Nor did David build anything of ivory. It was his son Shlomo who did that. But the description of the traits of the groom listed in Psukim Dalet through Tet fit David like a T. So all three could fit, even if all the details don't line up exactly. It's interesting that all three married foreign women, and all of the women struggled with the azvi, the need to separate from her homeland. Perhaps the Mizmor is not talking about any one person, but a group of people. Let's go back to the famous line and offer another possibility. Pasuk Yudalit, Kol Chvudav Vat Melech Pnima, Mimishbetzot Zahav Levusha, in all her glory, the princess is inside, adorned in golden filigree. Wearing good clothing that is checked and embroidered, and being led to the Heichal, the king's palace, accompanied by friends. This could refer to the Kohanim who are serving Hashem, and the Kohanim do indeed carry their kavod inward as they move to serve Hashem. If we cannot find an exact match in the stories of Tanakh, let's shift our attention to the world of the Mashal, of metaphor and symbolism, and anchor the story with another person who had to leave home, Abraham. The Midrash in Bereshit Rabbah, Lamed Tet, presents a Midrash about Avraham discovering Hashem in the following language. Amar Rab Yitzchak, Mashal Echad Chaya Over Mimakom LaMakom. It is a mashal, a parable, to one who was passing from place to place. V'ra'a bira achad doleket, Amar Tomar Shabira Zo Belo Manhig. And he saw a palace in flames and wondered, is it possible that the palace lacks an owner? Hitzitza lav bal habira, amarlo, ani hu bal habira. The owner of the palace looked out and said, I am the owner of the palace. Kach, lefisha haya Avram Avinu omer, tomar sha'olam hazeh belo manhi. Avraham Avinu said, is it possible that this world lacks a ruler? Hitzitza lav akadosh baruch hu, v'amarlo, ani hu bal ha'olam. Hashem said to Avraham, I am the ruler, the sovereign of the universe. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks Zatzal explains the Midrash in this way. Avram was struck by the contradiction between the order of the universe, the palace, and the disorder of humanity, the flames. How, in a world created by a good God, could there be so much evil? If someone takes the trouble to build a palace, do they leave it to the flames? If someone takes the trouble to create a universe, does he leave it to be disfigured by his own creations? On this reading, what moved Avraham was not the philosophical harmony, but moral discord. For Avraham, faith began in cognitive dissonance. There is only one way of resolving this dissonance, by protesting evil and fighting it. That is a poignant meaning, continues Rabbi Sacks, of the Midrash, when it says that the owner of the palace looked out and said, I am the owner of the palace. It is as if God were saying to Avraham, I need you to help me put out the flames. How could that possibly be so? God is all powerful. Human beings are all too powerless. How could God be saying to Avraham, I need you to help me put out the flames? The answer is that evil exists because God gave humans the gift of freedom. Without freedom, we would not disobey God's laws. but at the same time, we would be no more than robots programmed to do whatever our Creator designed us to do. Freedom and its misuse are the theme of Adam and Chava, Cain and Hevel, and the generation of the flood. End quotation from Rabbi Sacks. This midrash could bring us to another possibility. The king, the groom, is Hashem, and the bride is Knesset Yisrael, the children of Israel. We are told to leave the comforts of our family and embrace the values of our new home. This can be a response to Mizmor Mem Dalid, why did you leave us, Hashem? What can we do now? Maybe there are things we need to remind ourselves to leave behind. Maybe that which we have not left behind is why Hashem has left us behind. Maybe there are things we can do to bring ourselves back in Hashem's favor. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.